All right, then, shut your mouth. I've got a message for all the people out there. Now, this episode of the Football Ramble is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest way to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store for you and your ideas. Squarespace features an elegant interface, beautiful templates, and incredible 24/7 customer support. Try Squarespace at squarespace.com and enter the offer code RAMBLE at checkout to get 10% off. Squarespace, build it beautiful. Marcus, you're a beautiful template!
On the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up. She said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and Jim's here.
Hello.
Luke's here.
That was a nice surprise.
Yeah,
all right.
Pete, are you disgusted or are you happy, Pete?
That's not whimsical. That is a dereliction of duty by a woman who should be taking care of a baby.
Yeah, it's true. You cannot adopt that policy in a maternity ward. Leave that one. Bad to the bone.
He's the one.
I don't like its face.
You, you will get struck off.
Is that a proper medical test? Yeah, I did put it right into the bone. Bad.
Bad. Now, last week it was announced that Alan Shearer is to be honoured with a statue outside St James's Park. If you could honour someone with a statue outside of St James's Park, gentlemen, who would it be? Jim.
Just so I fully understand the parameters of the question, does it have to be right outside St James's Park, or could it be, for example, in a nearby lay-by? just
you're getting one laugh from me in 2015 about Kevin Keegan, so...
Well, hang on a minute, I've still got to go.
We'll make up for it.
Okay, all right.
I didn't see it coming, that's why. And that's the only reason why.
I didn't see that coming either.
All right, well, I'm not going to go for that. I've got a couple of things. Originally, I was thinking maybe like a memorial bench with a statue of Steve Harper on it.
That's very good.
Just so
very
people
nice.
Could sit on it and have a little reflect on Steve Harper. But I think a big part of that's
lovely.
That's not the one I'm going to go for. A big part of Newcastle's sort of legacy and what makes the club so special is the fans, isn't it? They're great. They're amazing.
Well, I actually agree with that.
what I would have to sort of commemorate that would be a statue of a Newcastle fan gearing up to punch a statue of a horse with the fox from that fan's garden on his back, like that hummingbird on the weasel.
Yeah, that's nice.
Okay, I like
that's
that.
Very strong. Yeah. That is excellent.
I'll tell you what. Part of me thinks that we should just stop the opening question from
part,
now on.
Part of me thinks
not much going to be better. Than
part
that.
Of me thinks that's too many answers, and it's not fair on Pete and I.
Yeah. Is it like in? I was watching the Comic Relief darts last night. As he over, you know, he's gone past, he's gone over zero, so he's got to start again.
Yeah.
Is that what
that's
he's
what
done?
That's what it should there? Be, yeah. It should be, yeah. Yeah.
Whatever. Come on, it's Newcastle.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, thousands more.
You've taken all of the answers.
The one thing, no, to be fair to Jim, the one thing I realised when thinking about this question was the sheer amount of players in that club. Like, there's no other club comes close. I mean, you can talk about Steaua Bucharest, you can talk about this other nonsense that goes on all over the place in football. But Newcastle United genuinely are a class apart.
Yeah.
And they should be very grateful for that.
So many stories.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. When I thought out that opening question, I took the rest of the day off.
Yeah. As usual.
Yeah.
Am I right in saying that a few years ago this was mooted, but Ashley vetoed it, so he wouldn't pay for it?
That's right.
So is this finally been pushed through by some other financial means, and Ashley's going, "Well, do what you want, but I'm not paying for it."
Yeah. He
took us down.
Okay.
The staff at Shearer's have been having, like, tips collections. Yeah. Put it towards it.
I think it was Freddie Shepherd's idea, wasn't it?
No, Shearer came in and went, "I'll pay for it myself."
That bar isn't called Shearer's anymore, it's called Number 9.
Of course.
Is it? Right. Of course, yeah, okay, right. Yeah. Anyway, so my answer, I was going to think about saying Philippe Albert in the overhead kick position. That'd be very nice.
Explain why, people might not remember.
Well, because in the aforementioned bar, Shearer's slash Number 9.
No, it's the strawberry bar.
Okay, would you want to... Well, listen, there's a picture of all these players with signed photos up all around the bar, and Philippe Albert, a centre-half, his picture was him doing an overhead kick, which I just think is amazing.
Nothing else sums up Newcastle United.
No, it's amazing.
It's the mid-90s.
Everything's the wrong way round. But I think I'll probably go
was
for...
Was it with his weaker foot as well?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I think I'll... It's probably a clearance.
Yeah.
I think I'll go for future Hall of Famer, Christian Bassidas.
All right, okay, yeah, fantastic.
Nice hair, lots of stuff. And I think the great thing about that is, people would see it and go, well, that could be anyone. I want to find out more. Mm. And it adds a sort of educational element to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, mm. I like that. Mm. Nice. Pete, sorry.
I think it would be just nice to have a collection of men, like the forgotten men of Newcastle United. That kind of late 90s, early noughties, kind of Kenny Dalglish sort of era where he brought in like...
Kenny Dalglish's son.
John Barnes, Stuart
Paul
Pearce,
Dalglish.
Paul
yeah.
Dalglish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is Warren Barton around then?
Well, he was part of Keegan's kind of thing. Right, this is kind of like after he'd gone and they just started bringing in like old, like Leon Rush, people like that. Like people
oh,
who,
yeah, you know,
people
John
who,
Barnes.
Like, you've kind of forgotten about...
Pistone.
Used to play for Newcastle. Pistone would be a good one, yeah.
Yeah. That's
just,
a good
just
one.
The forgotten men of Newcastle. Or possibly just a massive Andy Cole, and his shin splints could be like a little ladder.
Yeah.
You could climb up his broken shins.
You could get all the injured players that they've had, of which they've had many down the years. And then, you know that famous piece of art sculpture of the Americans at Iwo Jima?
Yeah.
But they could be climbing onto the treatment table.
Yeah.
Or climbing over each other to get on the treatment table.
And Patrick Kluivert's just sat in there drinking like a hooch.
Yeah. Saying, too late, guys. This is my spot.
I think whatever you go for, there should also be a statue of Faustino Asprilla, just complicating it.
In cartwheel?
Why not?
Waving the flag, didn't he put a shirt on the
corner flag,
corner flag and waved it around?
Oh, that was quite
was
nice.
That, was that against Barcelona?
It was fantastic. I remember it well. It was fantastic. Yeah.
Just pick like Lionel Perez.
Yes,
like
I remember him.
Was it just kind of like underrated. Cisco?
That's later.
Yeah.
That's much later.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But it's
Albert still
Luque.
That sort of guy.
There you go.
Was it Marcelino who left the Premier League because he hated crosses?
The defender. I was thinking, Jim, actually, that when you said the fox on the guy's back, could it be Rule Fox?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Certainly could.
It's all in there. A few answers to get through. Mike Ashley, Alan Pardew.
Michael Jackson.
We've seen it
before for no reason.
The Michael Jackson statue is now in the National Football Museum, which is just weird.
It was above our heads when we were doing the live show, but we didn't realise until afterwards. Which is
not directly above our heads and levitating.
Not only that, where it is just the canteen. That's the funniest part of it.
Yeah, but I just want to grab someone who took that. And it's like, you do realise it's nothing to do with football.
Yeah. That should be the Al-Fayed.
Al-Fayed corner of football.
Yeah, that's right. I thought, do you know what would be bloody lovely would be a statue of Peter Beardsley? You know that grin he does, which is really heartwarming as you walk into the stadium. Mm. That would be excellent.
Yeah, I think so. I think, and also, we know from we've got on pretty good authority that Peter Beardsley's a good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's Newcastle through and through. One of Kitspire booting the advertising board.
That'd be nice. Just with like Sports Direct branding on its back.
Yeah.
So it's just a permanent fixture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it is an advert.
Not on the side of the pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like booting an existing advertising board.
Yeah. It's always
but
there.
You'd have to have one of those bibs on so it's like for a player.
Should we just do this question for the rest of the show? We
could actually do a
special
on this.
I think people are already concerned that we might be doing that.
What I like about it is that I completely missed what the opening question was until the show started. So I had to quickly think of something.
Well, it's your special subject.
I could have spent all day on this. Yeah. I could have spent all day on this.
That's why every opening question will be tailored towards Newcastle United because Pete never prepares.
Bring me in, guys.
I thought you'd have gone for Solez on a throne.
Yeah. No, because people would just be like rubbing themselves up against it. It would just be a public sexual.
Not everyone's like you.
People would be rubbing themselves against it.
People would be just...
They love this right
stuff. That's true.
Yeah.
Is it like, it's like in Parliament. You know, when you go into the House of Commons, you've got the four statues of prominent... Prime Ministers, and there's one of Winston Churchill, and it's good luck, apparently, you know, to rub his big toe on your way in, so it's quite worn down. So
there's also different patron saints of the British countries over each entrance and exit in the House of Parliament,
Which are the ones that got their hands chopped off by the... was it the hands or their legs that got removed and then reattached thanks to those troublesome ladies in the 1918s?
Are you okay?
Are we still talking about Newcastle United?
The suffragettes.
Right, suffragettes chained themselves
to the...
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So that outside Newcastle United, the suffragettes, is the right answer.
Kevin Keegan in a helicopter.
Yeah. Somehow suspended in the air above the pitch.
Yeah.
I think Jim has to have the point.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Thanks, guys. Kevin Keegan in a helicopter like they do at the World Cup where they have the camera on those big strings.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. He could be up there in the helicopter.
It could just be a remote control helicopter, like a plastic statue. We've not specified what it's made out of.
What are you drawn?
When you said, I sort of envisaged David Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of affair.
Yeah. Yeah, that could work. Yeah, but Keegan just standing in there. What if it was actually Keegan?
Yeah.
I mean, just feed him.
Put him in a box.
I reckon if you said that to
like
Keegan,
a hamster.
I'll do it for 5 more hours. I've got a chance of getting second place.
Yeah. How long was Blaine up there for?
Alright. I would love it if I beat Blaine.
I'll do it for 2 weeks. Keegan doesn't even sound like this, does he?
That doesn't matter. Anyway, Jim's got the points. Well done, Jim.
I'm giving Keegan.
Alright then. The statue will stand at 9 feet and 6 inches tall.
That's huge. That's good, isn't it?
What a hell of an erection.
Yeah. Very, very large erection.
Let's go on to the FA Cup. Aston Villa 2, West Brom 0, pitch invasion.
Mm. Yes.
Everyone was disgusted.
No, my favourite part about this was that the media didn't know whether to be disgusted or not. They were like, look what it means to the players. Oh, and it's like old times, but it is a disgrace.
If it was like a lower league team doing that, you'd be like, oh, because it's Villa and they've just had a shitty season. You're kind of going, oh, come on, don't get excited now.
Yeah. And they were doing it before the game finished as well.
I've never understood that.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, in the quarters. Like, the thing about
that's
it
how
is
bad it's been for them.
I want them on the pitch at Wembley in the semis if they make the final.
I want to give us the best chance of this game being abandoned.
But in Wembley, though, if you've ever sat down the front,
it's impossible to climb over.
It is. So
just getting in early.
Right.
So there's the gauntlet. I joke, of course, we don't want to see it happen.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was old fashioned in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, we'll deplore violence and stuff like that. But at the same time, any sort of public spectacle of disorder is inherently funny at the same time.
There was a wonderful clip where, I think it must have been the linesman, just pegs it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Absolutely pegs it. Yeah. I've never seen, he ran faster than any player that day.
I have honestly never seen. An official move that quick. Yeah. Ever.
I thought linos could only move sideways like crabs.
Yeah, yeah.
He was away.
Unless they're drunk.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And they go straight.
Maybe
and the great thing about that, and it also had the added benefit of making him look like he was running faster, is he still had the flag down by his side.
He's
only actually running with one arm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The flag's all he's got. He can't call those fans offside.
Well, he's still respecting the laws of the game, isn't he? Yeah. I can't raise the flag. People will think it's a decision. It's like when you see a liner run back to the halfway line.
Yeah.
If a goal's going in, it's always down.
Definitely, always, yeah.
That's great, you know, that kind of confusion went into the players as well. You could see Fabian Delph after the game, like, was saying, like, it was actually quite scary. The fans were, like, they were kissing me and they were biting me as well. But like, and that is must be kind of terrifying.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, he was just laughing, like, cracking up at
it. The thing is, I don't know what it's like to be a flipping Premier League player and surrounded by fans who are absolutely loving you. But did he mean bite or was it a friendly gnaw?
I reckon it's more likely a friendly gnaw.
Yeah, I would say
just
so.
Just
people are drunk, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It reminds me of something that I'll probably get this story wrong, but it's interesting anyway. Something Clint Hill told me once.
Oh, yeah.
Where he said, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying it was when he was playing for Palace, they went away to Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough, and either team could have got relegated. And I think Palace needed the point.
Oh, I remember this.
And they juked it out, and I think they managed to get the point they needed. Yeah. And so the Palace fans were obviously pleased, but Hills was a massive stadium. They fill it as well for those sorts of games.
Yeah.
So there's loads of people there. So
about 40,000.
Yeah, exactly. Probably. Yeah. And Clint said, "Oh, I went over to the Palace fans to start sort of celebrating with them. Didn't even think about it. Run over there." Started clapping and stuff. They're all jumping around. Turn around. All the players are gone on the tunnel. And it was just him and about 20,000 Sheffield Wednesday fans between him and the tunnel.
Oh, God.
And they'd just been relegated.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what did you do? He was like, I just started swinging. and it's actually on YouTube. You can see him.
Man.
You can see him throwing punches and stuff.
Wow.
Trying to get his way through.
Aura.
Yeah. And so it can go very, very wrong. And I imagine it would be very intimidating.
That's the closest thing you're ever going to get to being in a zombie apocalypse. I can't think of another scenario.
That's unfair on the people of Sheffield. That.
But the zombie apocalypse wouldn't even visit them first.
But that's genuinely terrifying because at least Delph, he scored and his own fans are on the pitch in their home stadium.
Yeah.
There's a load of pissed off people who are on the pitch to display their anger.
Yeah.
I think start swinging is a great piece of advice for any part of life, I think.
If you're a really hard scouser like Glenn Hill, if you're me, it's not a good idea.
Just start swinging.
At the end of the season, it used to be like a tradition to run on the pitch at various clubs around the country.
I've been on the pitch at Fratton Park after the game before.
I've run on the pitch at Hartlepool at Brian Arnold's testimonial and everyone else ran over, I think I've told this story before. Everyone ran over to Les Ferdinand and David Ginola and I think Darren Peacock was a particularly popular one because he's a good looking chap. I ran over to Scott Sellers.
Yeah.
He's your favourite.
He was my favourite.
He'd have loved that.
Yeah. He'd kill that person on the road.
Apparently,
Jesus.
Right.
Not libelous, it happened. So yeah.
I know. Just
take the shine off your hero when he actually kills a human being.
I've got a little heart story.
Yeah, okay.
a friend of mine, they used to run on a pitch when Hearts did the last game of the season, and they played Kilmarnock, I think it was. And like this dickhead that he used to sit near, they'd all run on, and he saw this bloke. It was a nothing game.
Nothing game.
I don't know. Yeah, it was. Yeah, I don't know if it was a result, but yeah, absolutely nothing. Kilmarnock had not done anything to wind anybody up. There's no beef. There's no history. Nothing like that.
Just start swinging.
This fan started trying to lump a couple of the Kilmarnock players. It's like, mate, what are you playing at?
Crazy.
Someone's had a bad day,
having some issues.
It's like when you got like you play 11 sides at the weekend. And there's one lad who just goes mental because he's had an hard week.
Yeah, that's it.
It's like I don't come to 11 sided. I go for a laugh. I don't go to win the FA Cup or just to take all the stuff I couldn't shout at my wife.
Yeah, for some people it's a very physical therapy, isn't it?
Yeah, he's very much so.
Loro was hating it, wasn't he?
Villa fans.
I mean, he hates football and joy at the best of times, but that there are a lot of villages without their idiots. Is one thing he said. And then when it cuts,
your village
with extreme regularity,
but it doesn't matter because this idiot has been beamed into their homes.
So they won't miss him.
So you know what? They're not going to miss it.
If anything, it's an upgrade.
There's your compensation.
Idiot in HD. Yeah.
He said when the camera cut to Sherwood, when the fans were kind of messing around before the game was over, well, they've ruined his day.
He's been there for three matches.
A local derby quarter final, Pete. It is Sherwood.
And that really does sum up how Tim Sherwood feel about it.
Sherwood was in a strange position, wasn't he? Because after the game, he was obviously delighted with the win, but he seemed a bit sort of pumped up by the circumstances of it as well, because he's such a new manager, he's sort of got to be careful about decrying the actions of those fans, and he kind of didn't. He sort of, from what I remember at least, it just seemed like he wanted to make himself seem like one of the lads, like if he'd been in the crowd, he'd have been down there himself. Like, it's a weird situation.
You're right, it is a tricky one for sure, because if he does go watch, it's an absolute disgrace or whatever. But then at the same time, he can't condone it.
Yeah,
Has Tim Sherwood somehow managed to win three games since I last talked about his win percentage?
It's not quite Pierce, is it?
It's absolutely ridiculous. I should say, for the interest of clarity, because people have been hammering me this week, fair enough, because Sherwood, they've done the business, they've won, they're winning games. If we include the half of the Leicester game, so he obviously did some business at half time there. We'll include that as a win, because I'm being generous. His win percentage now stands at 60%, which just seems weird to me because it was 0% a week ago. Anyway, slightly harder than Sir Alex Ferguson, whose win percentage is 59.67% at Man United.
I'm done.
Champions by May 2016.
So if I've got those sums wrong, there was a Sherwood win percentage Twitter that kept updating, but I can't find it.
That's amazing.
The matches that I've seen in the last two or three weeks from Aston Villa under Sherwood's stewardship, they've not looked like winning sides that are going to win a lot of matches this season.
I felt like they did okay against West Brom in the cup game. The first half was pretty poor all round, I thought. I think Pulis will be disappointed with his team actually in those two games, because I think he thinks of himself, as a bit of a, I don't know if I said this last week, but he seems to think of himself as a bit of a canny operator. And there was very much so. But when Sherwood said that stuff midweek about back in the last week, where he said, I didn't go to West Brom because of this, that, and the other. That wasn't right for me. They're a lovely little club. And I genuinely don't think he meant it in a derogatory way. I just think he was being a bit cheeky. And Pulis came out and said, that's what Tim Sherwood's like. I don't mind, whatever, because I actually think that he thought he'd have his number and he'd knock him out. No, knock his team out. Because I think that Pulis prides himself on being quite an experienced manager, but his team didn't actually do an awful lot, and so I think he'll be really, really disappointed. There's an opportunity for them, because he's not been to Wembley since, was it 2011 in the final?
Yeah, Manchester City.
Stoke,
I think Arturo scored. He'd have been an opportunist, wouldn't he? When everyone ran on the pitch and went crazy. Imagine if Pulis just went, whipped the cap off, chucked it on the ground.
I don't think Pulis would be that subtle. You'd just see bodies flying. You wouldn't know the source of it initially, but you'd work it out.
And like a plowed field
flying all over the place.
How pissed off Roy Keane that he wasn't there for that.
Built for that.
He'd do a Brian Clough, wouldn't he?
Keane was there, no one would have dared.
No chance.
It wouldn't have happened.
No chance.
Would have been doing it, like ready to go on the pitch side, and Keane would be on the big screen and just like shake his head, and everyone goes sit down again.
Chairman Mao.
Villa have had some weird criticism over it. I saw some criticism saying, well, clearly if this is happening, they've not got enough stewards. You can't have one steward for every fan.
I love that. It's ridiculous. I always say that was like, there's only about 60. You could have 1,600. Yeah. They're going to win this year. Yeah. Everyone's just going to pile on.
Or would Keane do that thing on the big screen with the thumb like the gladiators? Roman Emperor. mirror.
Yeah.
I think he just, out of his beard, he just pulled like a diamond, solid diamond knuckle duster.
Place it on the table in front of
him. And just liquefy everyone in his radius.
But seriously, though, Villa are, I mean, I think Sherwood's a joker, but Villa are a really big club, really important for them to get to Wembley. It's great for them and great for their fans because they've had a bit of a torrid time this year so far.
But I think that's it with the pitch invasion because they've got to Wembley, whereas obviously back in the day, the semi final wasn't there.
Funny one, though, isn't it? Because, yeah, absolutely.
So if you're going to.
Yeah, it would have been at Villa Park.
If you have a pitch invasion.
Well, they would have had to apply at Old Trafford, wouldn't they?
Yeah, would have done. If you haven't pitch invaded for a while and you fancy it and you think, we're never going to get another chance for a while or certainly not in the league or none of that kind of stuff, then you've got to take your opportunity in the quarter final.
I'd like to see Villa adopt this for the rest of the season.
every
game. Just every home
game. Just to piss all the pundits off and do it really, really nicely.
Yeah.
And everyone gets on the pitch and then
they'll sing a song.
Picnics. Just to piss
everyone
off.
Like they did those German grounds during the World Cup.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The sofas and all.
But I did think that Myhill could have done better for that first goal, certainly. Mm. And didn't Foster have a bit of a stinker last time out?
That he did. But apparently, I mean, the story that was put out, which is very convenient, is that Myhill's the cup goalkeeper anyway.
Yeah, I think that has been true, to be fair.
Scott Sinclair, again, making a big difference for Villa. Mm. It's great to see him playing again. And just no rust at all.
Mm. It was a lovely bit of play. And a great breakaway goal from Villa's point of view. But the one thing that people always say about Sherwood that he does, in the mould of Harry Redknapp, of course, with certain players, he really encourages them and gets them going. And whether that's short-term or long-term, we'll have to wait and see. But Scott Sinclair...
I agree with that, and I think my only criticism would be I fear, in terms of if I was a Villa fan, I would fear that's all he has got. Yeah. And that won't always work in every situation.
But it'll probably keep them up.
Oh, they're doing well. Listen, we're talking about this on the back of three straight wins or whatever it is, or however many...
60%, mate.
You can't argue with that. You can't argue with that.
You need the points.
You do need the points.
They probably would have preferred this match to be won in the league than the cup, to be fair, even if it got you to the semi-final. They need points on the tip.
Well, they won the tie in the league, so they'll take both, I'm sure. Well, they've got no option but to.
You can't turn it down.
You can't give a win back.
That'd be a very arrogant Sherwood thing to do. No, the players weren't good enough. I'm giving the points back to teach them a lesson. Should we talk about the two mental sendings off?
If we could. Mm. I didn't think the West Brom... one was a sending off.
Oh, of course not. I think, if anything, it was a foul on him.
Yeah, I don't think it was either. I agree.
His first booking was obviously a very sort of cheeky... he's taken a booking for the team there.
Yeah, that was a yellow,
it's a tactical one. You take that risk. But the second one, I don't know... Jakob, he does have a deserved reputation for going in very, very rashly. He had a terrible challenge on Diego Costa earlier in the season, so I wonder if that has influenced the referee. But, of course, from the referee's position as well, Bakuna just starts screaming in agony, and it looks like he's been kicked, when in fact he's actually kicked Jakob. So it's very harsh.
It's one of those ones where if you watch the telly with the sound off, say you're doing something else, and you like watch it, you go, oh, he's got to go for it. Somebody else is going to get a double there. And you're like, how did that happen?
It did look like one of those, because you can always tell. It ticks those boxes. Yeah. The player stays down. The guy looks like he lifted his feet off the floor. The referee legs it over there really quickly. that's got red written over it.
Yeah, from the ref's position, I'm sure it looked like that. But Loro said on that, if that's a second yellow, we may as well just ban tackling forever.
Forever.
Like a teenager.
Oh, dear.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
It destroys so true.
He was on form, wasn't he, this weekend?
I thought the Villa one was actually a dive.
You think? I think his leg was caught.
I think he kept his leg in there.
It's a very platoony dive, if it was.
I can understand people might say he was jumping out the way, but I think that it wasn't a foul, and I can understand why the referee's given that as a dive and a yellow card. And if he deems it a dive, it's a yellow card. Mm. And if the lad's already on a yellow card, it's a sending off. Mm.
Deem the dive, dickhead.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm misremembering this, but I don't really think there could be any complaints here. Can there for Joe Rulish? I think he looked like he dived. He's on a yellow. It's a stupid thing to do.
I don't think he did dive, though. I think his leg was caught.
Well, that's where the argument
is. It span him around. It took him really off balance. I think
he did a Robert Pires and left his leg in.
Is there something to be said for, Robert Pires against Portsmouth in the Invincible season?
Yeah, that
brilliant.
Brilliant.
My God.
Still angry about that.
Do you know what? Worthy. Do you know what is annoying that?
It's one of the many things that makes the man great, Luke.
Takes the shine off the Invincibles, I think.
Can't take away his medals.
The reason that I find it annoying...
They're still shiny.
...is because, as a football fan, I'd really like to be able to enjoy that season. I'd really like to be able to enjoy that achievement, but it just sticks in my craw. I'm not a big enough man to enjoy it. That's what annoys me.
I'm a small enough man to disregard
it.
Imagine watching that Bergkamp goal over and over again.
I suppose. They're both equal moments of inspiration, I suppose.
But you've got bigger problems than that, mate. Yeah. Think about the only big question.
So Pompey.
Pompey got a draw that day.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So he should have won. Should have won. They won the up.
No, but that wasn't given as a pen, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, well, I was going to...
Yeah, that's the whole point of it, yeah.
That's the whole point of it, Pete.
Is it Andy O'Brien spun round? It was, wasn't it?
In the Perez thing?
Mm.
I think
no, it was, no, in the oh. in the Bergkamp...
No, it was Davizas.
Davizas, wasn't it? Yeah.
He'd be on the bench.
He didn't... When he played for Leicester, he didn't... That might have been when you were at uni there, actually. Maybe you even are one of these people, because apparently he didn't really hang out with any of the Leicester players, but he had loads of friends who were students.
Right.
That's interesting. Mm.
Well, Pete didn't go to proper Leicester uni, so probably not. No.
Still,
I was probably closer to...
It's the ex-poly, Jim. I mean, come on. Davos hasn't got standards.
I have some respect.
Yeah, but Pete didn't work at Leicester City once.
I was in the prospectus, mate.
Oh, yeah, you were, actually, yeah. But the thing about... Can I just give you one more reason why that Pirès thing is disgraceful?
Please do.
And, Marcus, I know you're going to agree with me here. I think you as well, Pete. Three short of words for you, but definitely two and a little extra one. Ariane de Zoo. That's who he's simulating against. Yeah, okay. Ariane de Zoo, who is a magnificent man.
And now homicide detective.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're going to get someone on the job.
He couldn't do anything about that crime scene,
could he? Probably what inspired him.
Draw a bit of chalk around that.
Injustice.
Yeah. It haunts him at night. Yeah. He has to drink to blot it all out.
I'm too moral for this shit.
Yeah.
Drawing a shark outline around Robert Pirès.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
Aston Villa. This chalk outline is handsome.
Yeah,
that's
beautiful.
That's the Aston Villa stuff done.
I think so. But that's the great thing about... Well, not the great thing. That was the thing about it, because, you know, we don't condone pitch invasions. But that just burst it all to life in terms of media, in terms of the coverage of the game. Yes, it was a good win for Villa, of course it was. And
the other matches were pretty awful, to be fair.
Yeah, but that was the biggest talking point.
The score lines were, but the matches were good.
I didn't see Liverpool-Blackburn, but I saw Bradford Reading and I enjoyed that.
That was a pulsating nil.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy who says... proper cup tie, because it makes me sound really old. Which
but
I probably
it was a proper cup
and,
tie.
And it makes me also sound a bit cliched and a bit like, oh, I don't like modern football. Well, that's not true.
You're still
love
thinking it
now.
But no. But when you say a proper cup tie, you mean the atmosphere, how tense it was.
Yeah.
And all that.
Well, sometimes I watch football now and I think if I catch myself thinking about it, I think stuff like, oh, it's so weird now, because like at top level football, so you watch the Champions League this week, every touch is like automatic.
Yeah. Mm.
It's almost like when you're watching football now, you take a first touch for granted, and it never used to be like that. Yeah,
it's almost in line with playing FIFA.
Yeah,
isn't
it is very much so. It reminds you of that. And that game, Bradford Reading, was very much not like that. Chiefly down to the pitch, but it was fantastic to watch.
Yeah. But that's why, you know, with Vines and all these YouTube clips and all, you see the best the sport has to offer in a highlight package, or not even a highlight package, in complete micro form in a 6-second little clip. Mm. And you constantly see those images. So like you say, like, when you see the game played at not the very top level, you think, oh blimey, yeah, this is also how the game is played. But computer games, all that sort of stuff have an impact as well. A friend of mine,
well, but you're used to going to see like Fulham, and you've been to see
QPR
and stuff, and I've been to see Portsmouth a lot of times, and I've been to other games this season, so we are used to that as well.
I've only seen Fulham once this season. I've seen QPR more.
I think it depends how you consume it. That's what I mean.
Sure. Okay. I take your point.
I wouldn't have gone to see them this week.
Oh, sorry?
Fulham.
Oh, yeah, we'll
but
get
there,
to
are,
that.
There are plenty of people listening to this show who predominantly will only experience football consistently by going to watch their own team play.
Yeah.
And their own team might not be that good.
Sure.
But I'm just saying for the wider public, it's interesting to watch that type of game.
But I think that's why some people... there's a number of reasons here, and we won't get into this, of course, because we could be here for the rest of the evening. But I think that's why a lot of people who support big teams aren't that fussed in England anymore, because they see the quality week in, week out with players like Hazard and whoever else. And when it comes to England, the cohesion and the I don't know, the tactical awareness of some of the players, it's not quite there, and they think, no, oh, this is a bit... You want the
well, it's not as good, is it? But it isn't as good, yeah.
It's not as good.
Because 9 times out of 10, I mean, no, more than that, yeah, probably 40 times out of 41, or whatever it is, England aren't playing anyone good in a competitive fashion.
Yeah.
So even if England are good, you've always almost got that thing at the back of your mind thinking, well, this team are playing a shit, so it doesn't matter. And other than that, or it's a fucking friendly.
Yeah, it's not a reflection of the standard we're aiming for.
And I think a lot of people, especially the generation below us, would say Champions League is the highest standard, wouldn't they?
I don't know how you'd quantify that, but it'd be interesting to see somebody try, wouldn't it? Mm. But on Bradford, it feels like they're still
just buzzing from the Chelsea win. They've still got that boost that's carried them through. And a lot of people are saying, oh, their chance might be over now going to Reading. But Reading is still a division above them. It's still a really good result. And they played really well. John Stair did some amazing forward play again. He was very unlucky. And obviously, Pogrebnyak hit the post and then handballed it really late on. But it was chaos in the box at that point. There was a Yakubu air shot in there. Yeah. All of it. It was great.
I think goalmouth scrambles are absolutely imperative.
Underrated.
For an FA Cup. Yeah, absolutely.
Especially on that sort of pitch.
And there was a couple there.
There's an amazing bit of commentary for Robbie Savage when Pogrebnyak hit the post, right? It was Savage hadn't really been singing Pogrebnyak's phrases or anything the whole game.
Yeah, just to avoid saying his name.
Yeah, probably, yeah. But anyway, but he didn't even say his name on this bit. He just, the ball came across and he had a nice touch and he struck the post. And then Savage just from nowhere went, and that's why they pay the big bucks for him. And it's like, well, one, he's not on big bucks, plays for Reading. He probably is getting really well paid, but he's not getting like Ronaldo wages. Secondly, he's hit the post. Thirdly, that was his seventh game without a goal. So what are you trying to say here?
Savage was on the sauce on that.
That's why they paid me all the money.
Savage was on the sauce.
He was talking about himself.
Because he was commentating, certainly on Match of the Day, Liverpool Blackburn. And he was having a right old go at Balotelli because...
Yeah, they all do that, don't they?
Bibatelli.
Yeah.
Remember that?
No, but it was an odd one because Laura was saying he's, the biggest waste of space and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, yeah. But it was when Balotelli broke forward and he charged towards goal and he was about 25 yards out and he tried to side foot and it went straight at the keeper. And Savage was going on about, why is he not just banging it from 40 yards like we've seen him do so many times? Why is he doing that? Why is he going in and trying to side foot it? And it's like, what, so you're saying that he had 15 yards in front of him to run into? You said, no, he just should have shot. Hit it as hard as he can.
One interesting thing about
but why point that? Why pinpoint that?
Yeah, it's daft, isn't it? It's just, Balotelli's an easy character to beat, isn't he? So I guess Savage is just taking the easy option. But that said, I saw an amazing stat about Balotelli recently, which was that he's only ever had one Premier League assist. Which, incredibly, was the goal for Aguero that won them, that won City the league.
If you're going to have one. But,
yeah, absolutely.
You're going to say where he assisted himself.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think if we're moving on to the Liverpool game, as we seem to be, I think Rodgers has been very strong to keep Balotelli out because he's his big name signing. Yep. He's effectively the replacement for Suarez. So he's shown strength there. And also, it's the correct thing to do because he's got the team playing really, really well again. But when you look at that stat about his one Premier League assist, I mean, replacing Suarez, who got loads, it shows you why they were having problems earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Rodgers sometimes doesn't get the credit as much as he should for being a good man manager. And, Sturridge and Sterling are two great examples there of how...
I just don't know. I need to admit, and hopefully I'm the first to admit, I don't really know if anyone knows how to call Brendan Rodgers a manager. I don't know how you can have any sort of serious... considered solid opinion on how good he is as a manager, because it is impossible to say. Every single time you think of a good point about his management, and there are many, you can think of another one. You can think of his transfers haven't been great. I mean, they've improved recently, but they've not been great. And I personally think he sometimes tries to be a bit too clever and stuff as well with his formation. A bit you find Guardiola does that. I mean, Guardiola did that fairly recently. So It's a funny one, but on the other hand, I think he's also a bit of a pseudo-intellectual. And then you think, well, maybe that's what the players need. Players need if you've got a group of players who aren't particularly, and I don't know about the Liverpool players, but I assume if they're the same as a general bunch of England-based footballers, they're not hugely interested in intellectual debates and stuff like that. So you then need a manager who's intelligent enough to seem intelligent or more intelligent than them, but not too intelligent that he alienates them. And I think Rodgers fits there quite nicely. And I think they like that. I think some of the stuff that he gets stick for from us and from other people about being a bit David Brent, I actually think that might be one of his greatest strengths. I think the players really like it.
It's an interesting point.
But it is really hard to call because he goes from being dreadful, as in Liverpool had the worst start in a Premier League season
ever. He's turned it around.
To doing well. But I said this last week, if they had even an average start to this season, they would be challenging for the league title.
Yeah. But they didn't. They had a bad start. This can happen in football. And again, when you talk about...
And he's a young manager, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, it was, it's only his, third season or something like that in a very tricky job.
Yeah.
At a huge, huge club where... so many legends have gone before him, and often those legends are in the stands watching you.
Yeah,
the pressure is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And his strike force that had been so deadly the previous season was split up through injury and transfer.
I think the thing with Rodgers as well is clearly he's a manager who wants to have a legacy. He wants to fill those shoes of the managers that are sat there watching him and be at Liverpool for a long time. And I think he's not a Liverpool forever, he'll want to manage at an elite level. And if you're going to be that sort of manager, you have to be
tactically flexible. So is there a degree of, you know, when he experiments with formations, he has to learn how to do these different things. I'm sure Alex Ferguson did that in his time. You know, I'm sure Mourinho did that in his time. And he's done very well very early. So maybe we're seeing some of those experiments now.
Yeah. Well, he was also linked with the City job, wasn't he? He's linked with the City job this week.
He might have been, yeah.
I mean, he's learning on the job, isn't he, really? Yeah. And it's a hell of a big job.
And you have
job.
To learn quickly in the Premier League.
Yeah, and like, if you only get that one season where they were, you know, there or thereabouts for the league title, you sort of think, well, he's probably done better than a lot of managers have in the previous 10 years, you know what I mean? Yeah. Champions League win accepted. It's just like, I kind of feel sorry for him because he's kind of like in a ridiculously
well. That would have been their been their first second place finish since Benitez, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. So,
a number of years ago now.
I just thought I think that he's got a gigantic, gargantuan job, and I just don't think many
for a young man as well
would be able to sort of handle that pressure.
No, I think that's probably fair.
Stuart Pearce, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. He's been piping up again. Stuart Pearce.
Has he?
Yeah, talking about how I don't know why he said it. Was he on?
When you say piping, do you mean plumbing?
Yeah, that piping was involved.
He's a lucky one, eh?
I can't remember, what programme was it on? He was on a programme over the weekend. I think he was saying that he thinks Gary Neville should be the next England manager or something like that. Probably because Gary Neville wants that he might have him as a coach, I don't know.
Well,
he wants a job, I expect.
You'd rather him than another obvious...
Well, I'd rather Gary Neville than Stuart Pearce.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. We thought might get it once upon a time. Yeah. But yeah, Liverpool...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Paul drew 0-0 Blackburn, obviously. A nasty one for Skrtel.
Mm. Yeah.
How hard is Gested?
I know, to knock out Skrtel.
Yeah.
Apparently Skrtel's going to be fine.
Of course he is.
Yeah, no, that's
made of granite.
Yeah. he wasn't born, he was quarried.
Yeah,
that's right. To coin a phrase. to take a Bob Paisley... comment I think that's who said that first.
I thought there was a number of penalty decisions in that game for the referee to make, and I thought he got them all right, actually. I thought there was one that Lallana went through, and
that one looked a penalty at first. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because certain angles it looks like he gets no contact, and others it looks like he does. It's funny how unreliable your own brain is.
Exactly. You see the replays from different angles, and it's the old cliche, my goodness, how tough is the referee's job?
Yeah.
But having said that, I would veer towards, I didn't think it was a penalty. But the teams have to wait a month for the replay.
Yeah, I heard that,
It's a bit annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Would you fancy Liverpool...
Yeah, I mean, they did the same. Did they not do the same thing with Bolton? They drew at home and they went and beat them away, didn't they? And Blackburn,
is that the routine?
Yeah, that's how they do it now. Yeah. Blackburn are okay. I mean,
does he think it's two legs, Rogers?
Great,
he
does.
Yeah. Conceded away goal there. That was a priority.
Mourinho would be proud of us. Home clean sheet. But I think Blackburn had a period where they looked like they might do something in terms of the playoffs. So I don't think they're getting now. So, I mean, yeah, Liverpool really should be beating them.
Yeah, sure. And obviously Manchester United and Arsenal at the time of recording hasn't been playing.
Kicking off in a bit, isn't it? Kicking off in a wee while.
Yeah. Yes, I am terrified about that. We've not beaten them in ages.
True.
I think Man United, for me, look, I'll make a prediction now. I think Man United will find a way to win that one tonight.
I think 1-0 Manchester United.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay quiet.
I can't remember the last time Arsenal beat Man United. I was thinking about this earlier. It's ages.
It might have been so long ago that it was that time. Do you remember every time Aaron Ramsey scored a goal, like a public figure died?
Yeah.
I think it might have been that long ago.
Pete, I mean, when Arsenal scored two goals, it's Man United, but Man United scored eight. Who won that one?
Oh, I don't know. It depends on who died. It very much depends on the celebrity.
I think Jim, a part of Jim's heart died.
I think what we can all agree on is that Robert Pires was a winner.
Didn't he kill Saville? Who did he kill?
He didn't kill anyone.
Ramsey killed. It was Bin Laden.
It was Whitney Houston, Colonel Gaddafi, and one other who was like a sort of, not a dictator, more veering towards the Whitney Houston side of things.
I was going to say Whitney Houston isn't a dictator.
He's a serial killer.
He was.
Serial killer.
Yeah. Whatever.
I've lost my place. Yeah. Shall we go to the Premier League? There was one match.
Yeah.
Sunday, Monday, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Super Harry Kane scored both goals for
Spurs. He is relentless.
He's magnificent.
What I love about Harry Kane is he celebrates every goal as if it's the first one he scored. This is not getting boring for him.
Bit of the Inzaghi about him.
Yeah.
Bit of Pippo.
Is that very true?
Yeah, Pibbo's offside, comes off his arse. Doing a Marco Tardelli.
No, you're 5-0 up
at home
in the last game of the season, which you're already not going to win anything.
Against a riddled, injury-riddled side, you're already down.
And you scored the last minute.
Yeah.
And you were offside.
Yeah.
And you mishit it.
Still celebrating.
Why not? Professional footballer scoring goals. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Nothing wrong with that.
It's a one-man pitch inversion. I'm not having it.
Only Messi and Ronaldo have scored more goals this season so far in Europe's top five leagues than Super Harry Kane.
That's amazing, isn't it? He could have had a hat-trick as well. He made a very bad decision with an open goal in front of him.
Oh, Harry. Bloody hell. Watched by the Hodge, Roy Hodgson.
Or was he watching one or two of the QPR club? Was he watching Big Rio Ferdinand?
Maybe he was watching.
There was one bit. I think there was one bit in that game.
Clint Hill, maybe. Is it his time?
I think I'm right in saying there's one bit in that game where Harry Kane turned Rio Ferdinand, and Rio Ferdinand literally didn't bother running. he's like he was saying, "Well, I'm not going to catch him.
Yeah.
And if I save my legs now, I might better do something a little bit more important later."
Yeah.
He's a good player. I just watch it.
I'm very much
a fan of football as well as a player.
Am I on the beeb tonight? Am I needing the conversation? Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I probably would have kept up with him.
Yeah. But I've got a new line of hats to think about. Yeah. I'll do that now.
Nice to see Sandro scoring.
It was. He's had difficulty with injury and he seems like a good egg.
Yeah. Now, that was a side foot, wasn't it? From some distance.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice one, yeah.
They do go in. Savage. As no one calls you.
Yeah. Apparently everyone else in football calls him Sav.
Right.
I heard a story about him getting really annoyed with... I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but shall I just say it anyway?
Pete will believe it out.
Pete, shall I just say it anyway and see what happens? Basically, there was an award ceremony a while back. I'm going to say over Christmas, and I'll tell you who told me this. It was... actually, I won't tell you who told me, because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, that was going to say.
But it involved Barry Glendening of a similar parish to this. many people listening will know who he is. And if you don't, you can look him up.
For The Guardian.
Yeah, Irish. He accepts an award for The Guardian at this award ceremony. And I believe I'm right in saying the award ceremony was sponsored by William Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a couple of William Hill ambassadors there. And AP McCoy was there, famous jockey, of course, and he was sat with Robbie Savage.
Mm.
And Glendening went up there to accept the award, and rather than, you know what Barry's like, instead of just accepting the award, he starts doing a bit of sort of impromptu stand-up.
He's quite a funny fella.
But anyway, the point is, he looked around, he saw AP McCoy sat next to Robbie Savage, and apparently he said, fuck me, AP, you must have had some rough rides in your career, but sat next to Savage all night, that's the worst one of your life, isn't it?
Wow.
And everyone loved it. Apparently Savage lost his shit.
Oh, did he?
He had to be taken away. He had to be pulled away.
By his
I don't know. I don't know. And apparently he doesn't even drink, so he wasn't pissed. So God knows what happened.
But did they have to get two guy down?
Mm. Yeah.
Shipping him out there.
Yeah, yeah. Two guy was outside having a smoke.
Two guy. I forgot about two guy.
Yeah, he's a good player, too. Yeah.
I didn't even like one guy.
But two guy for Glenn Dennings on.
Yeah. I think we all did.
Yeah, that's right.
What were we talking about?
Well, we've moved on. Let's go back to the Premier League. Last week, Hull, when they hosted Sunderland, we saw Gus Poyet and big Stevie Bruce get a little antsy with each other.
They've heard about our hardest managers thing and they're trying to get themselves involved.
Well, Poyet, I think, thought Bruce engineered one of his players getting booked. It was Rodwell that was booked for a dive, which was a dive.
Steve Bruce looked so confused.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Even when he was angry. He's like confused and angry. Like he'd been woken up in the middle of the day and he wasn't in his own house. Wasn't it?
Yeah. I love Steve Bruce for that reaction.
The sort of expression he had and the things he was doing, you can imagine him being in his pants.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like a man...
And a dressing gown as well, but it's open and you can see the pants.
It's open, yeah.
It was a man who'd spent the night in the drunk tank and he'd really just been brought out into the holding cell. He's like, what the fire?
Yeah. This is the last straw. I don't even know what this is, but I'm angry about it.
But none of it's his fault. Yeah. People think it is.
Yeah.
Poyet was fuming, though.
For the last few weeks, football people have just been losing their
I thought to myself when
it's
I saw
been a
it happen.
Great week for the game.
I thought, what could they be? What could they possibly be so angry about?
You're ruining the club that I also ruined.
I loved it. I love the fact that Poyet marched up to him, said something like aggressively sarcastic, and then walked off. And it was, as you say, Bruce's reaction. What, Gus, what the F are you talking about?
I don't want to sort of denigrate another man's attempt to speak English as a second language. I don't speak any other languages, so fair enough.
You're trying to go to Barry Glendening.
No, but Gus Poyet, he speaks fine English, but I don't think Gus Poyet is at a level of English where he could do proper sarcasm.
I think
I don't know why Bruce would be so annoyed.
Isn't that in the first lesson when you learn English?
Yeah. I think that's how you can tell you could properly speak English.
Yeah. Absolutely, English with sarcasm. But there's a magnificent Twitter account which is simply Steve Bruce at weddings.
Yeah, well, there's been photoshopped.
it, which is really, really funny. And it was like that. It was like everyone's had a few too many. You know, it's got a bit leery, and they've had to be separated. And Bruce doesn't know what's going on
to the front of the bar.
Yeah.
But even Bruce, as you say,
from different families,
when Bruce was going after him. And he was getting angry. He was still kind of being friendly and polite at the same time.
He was just confused. He was just really confused.
But he went for him. I'm not having that. You come back here and you tell me what the F that was all about.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
Didn't he say,
what the fuck are you talking about, Gus?
Yeah, he had no idea what he was going on about. It's class. Absolute class. Oh, dear. But it was a bit more argy-bargy, though, in that round of games. Papa C saying Johnny Evans.
Mm. Yeah. Spitty wee.
Spitting is the best thing you can do on a football pitch.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Don't mind it.
I just want to say that because I don't like how pious everyone else is about it.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah. I'd rather you broke my leg off, smacked me over the head, relegated my team to the non-league,
punched my family in the crowd,
killed my family, and then cause an extinction-level event to the entire Earth and the heat death of the universe than one globule of spit go anywhere near me.
I'd rather experience the plot of Taken without the specialised skills.
Imagine Liam Neeson's skill in that was spitting. Yeah. I'll find you and I'll spit all over you.
Yeah. But then they'd have just given his family back because it's the worst thing ever.
And he would have got a 7-match ban. Film ban.
It'll be a real health risk.
Yeah. But seriously though, joking aside, obviously it is disgusting.
It is horrible. Yeah. And it's very low, etc. But it's weird that
Weird that Papi Cissé came out with more credit than Johnny Evans. Bearing in mind he did the exact same thing. Yeah.
That's the weird thing.
Because he apologised first.
Because Cissé's got time to think about it and go, oh, that's gross. I don't want to lie. Actually, fuck it.
I don't know if I'm in the minority here, and I've only seen it a couple of times. So forgive me and shout me down if I'm wrong. But I don't think that Evans did actually mean to do it.
Well, I think he did. In that, if you saw him earlier on, when Riviere got tackled, he went over and spat on the ground right next to Riviere.
Right, he's pushing the boundary.
He's a bit of spitter, Luke.
Right, okay.
But he definitely did it.
He's banged to right, Cissé.
Let's get this down pat. They both spat at each other. Right, and Johnny Evans did it first. And Johnny Evans just sort of went, oh, I didn't do it. Spit definitely came out of your mouth. If you look at the video.
It did hit the floor, though, whereas Cissé very much flobbed all over him.
No,
right into his neck.
No. He missed him, did he?
I think they both missed.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll tell you who else. That's another thing Ari Anderson's had against him. El Hajju spat in his face when he was at Bolton.
It is because it's really hard to spot and it's really hard to kind of officiate against that sort of thing. You just get really angry, I imagine. Because, you don't think about retrospective banning
I think if someone spat in my face, I'd punch them.
I think.
But that's the thing, isn't it? Yeah. So on a football pitch, you're so trained to not do that. You've got to react somehow, haven't you? Because you're in the moment and you're furious. So Cissé's probably thought, well, this is all I can really do.
I'd throw myself on the floor. Fucking hell.
Like you've been spat at by like an alien.
Yeah, or a water cannon.
I think if Cissé hadn't spat back at him, neither of them would, well, obviously neither of them would get in trouble, but Johnny Evans wouldn't have gotten in trouble because it's actually quite hard to spot, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I think they should both be water cannoned.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, but the cannon should have a face on it. Oh. So it looks like it's spit.
Yeah, that'd be good. A fan of liquid, are you? Oh, good, because you've got some coming your way.
Yeah, punishment by water cannon.
And it should be the Director General of the FA's eyes, and the water cannon's come out of his eyes.
Yeah.
Well, Jim thinks mouth. I think I'll be happy with either.
Yeah. He could be crying at how tragic the whole situation is.
It would just be a big picture of the DJ of the FA, and it would be
DJ?
Like the DG of the of the FA.
DJ FA.
And it would be like in Soccer AM in the forecourt, wherever they do that kicking game.
I've literally never heard of it.
Johnny Evans and Cissé.
I think it should be Greg Dykes. It should come out of
the G.
Richard Scudamore's penis.
Yeah.
It should be a mocked up Richard Scudamore penis. And it should be gold coloured for money.
Yeah.
It actually look like wee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It should be that Goldschlager that's got...
Goldflex in it. Yeah.
Because, do you remember the rumour they put around that was that it cut your throat on the way down so the booze gets in your blood quicker?
No, it doesn't. No way.
Brilliant. Yeah. That might have definitely been in your circle of friends. Nobody else even talks about it.
I had some other things to say on that, but I think we've covered it.
Really. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, 6 or 7 match bans. It's heavy, but it's a heavy ban. I mean, we're essentially saying that it's worse. I mean, it's difficult to say. Actually, I'm not going to say that because it's difficult to you've got to take each sort of thing on its own merits, really, haven't you?
Is it worse than a 2-footer, which would get you a 3?
Is it worse? Is it worse than an apparent racist outblower?
Yeah, but racism would get a big ban.
Oh, what did John Terry get?
Four matches?
Yeah, less.
Was it fewer matches?
I was thinking about Suarez. He got
fewer. Yeah, he got more. But I think Terry got fewer. But I don't think it's very helpful to talk about it in that term, those terms anyway. Because I think really...
Things can be bad in very different ways.
Chris Waddle was saying something about this on the radio the other day. He was saying that, you know, he'd like to see... that they've got enough money, these football authorities. They should really be taking the time to look at each of these cases on merit. I know you've got to have a framework for particular punishments and stuff, but I don't think it's necessarily that helpful
But I think... But also, like, spitting isn't a massive problem in the game, but sexism and racism is. Yeah. You know, yeah. So that's where you kind of have to go go down harder, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, just to clarify, we hate seeing spitting. It's absolutely horrible. You know, but it was just the ridiculous overreaction.
Everyone does that. They always do that. It's like they say, every single pundit seems to just have a weird thing in their mind about it.
Because it's the way the tradition's always gone.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, that's why I thought it was important to say that actually Johnny Evans did spit at Cissé.
Mm. It was more disgraceful, like the crap coming out of bloody Evans's, Evans's ex-colleague's mouths about it. It's just like, Paul Scholes gone, like...
He's not that type of lad.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
No, exactly.
He did it earlier in the match at Riviere, so fuck it.
Journalist Martin Samuel pointed out, Cissé didn't have anyone to defend him on there.
Yeah.
So again, it's sort of slightly prejudiced, isn't it? But the reason why Cissé got seven matches, you've already been charged... this season with violent conduct.
Right, okay, fine.
So that's that makes sense. There's six and seven. Okay.
The important thing is Jonas Gutierrez got on the field.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was fantastic.
And he got a booking and he could nearly have been sent off himself. That booking.
I'm still getting grips for this.
He just came on, just went, oh God, it's really hard this, and I forgot.
Oh, you're Yanazar, I've heard about you.
He looked knackered.
I have forgotten almost all of this.
But you know, I think later on at Match of the Day, they cut out this mazy run he did. He took on four or five players, got round all of them, and then it kind of fizzled out a little bit.
Down on your mind. It's one of your daydreams.
Yeah, there we are.
And then
there
he's got a goal and everyone cheered. Yeah.
And then he won 1-0.
I know.
Yeah. It was such a daft game to lose, wasn't it? Such a shame that the mix-up at the end.
Yeah. Very, very strange.
Game.
Yeah. And so on. To the Championship, Bournemouth beat Fulham 5-1. AFC back on the top of the league on goal difference. That Cook goal, if you saw that from the angle of the top corner. What a finish.
They've got
a
very accommodating defence, haven't they, Fulham? Yes.
I find it odd, though, because obviously the Championship is a hard league to call, but I mean, last time out, I'm pretty sure Fulham beat Derby 2-0, and Derby are a good team. I saw Fulham beat Forest, and for the first half, I mean, Forest were poor at the time, for the first half, Fulham were absolutely irresistible. Mm. And, you know, not, I don't want to be too harsh on Bournemouth because they won the game easily, but Bournemouth are having a bit of a wobble. Mm. Bournemouth look like the one team, I mean, I think going into that game, they're about 18th in the form table, and it's so close at the top there. I think going into that game, if I could pick one team that would fall away, it would have been them. And they just pulled this out of nowhere. I think I'm right in saying that Fulham had a man set off, didn't they?
They did, but I think it was 3-1.
Oh, okay, so the game was already essentially
Fulham
won.
Fulham were 6 points above the relegation zone, and they're lucky that those teams down there...
But you've got to put it in perspective, because they had 11 games without a win at the start of the season.
I think it was eight.
Okay, I think it's probably 11 in all competitions.
Fulham are very poor.
Yeah. But I think they've improved, I think, under Simons based on what McGutt was doing.
They had, but I think actually they went before Derby. I think they went eight games without a win as well. You know, they're struggling a bit. They've really got to pull their little socks.
I'm just saying they are capable, because I've seen them play this season in the flesh and they were great.
I mean, I've only seen them once against Brighton, and they were awful, and Brighton were down there.
So it sounds to me like we've established that they're very inconsistent.
I think so, yeah.
There we go.
But the top four in the Championship were all 66 points.
Yeah, 10 games to go. It's so poised. It's great.
Norwich in fifth are 1 point off the top. And 5 points separate first and seventh.
Mm. Love it.
Bloody love it.
Never disappoints.
I mean, Norwich, they're up there as well. Alex Neil's amazing run continues. Won 9 of his first 12 matches in charge there. I mean, surprisingly, lost to Wigan the other week.
I spoke to someone about Norwich. This. I spoke to someone who's a Millwall fan, and I said, what did you think of Norwich? And he went, I think their manager should be sacked for conceding a goal against this absolute mob that I said, what?
Millwall have been completely awful this season.
Yeah, he said,
Holloway, man. What's going on?
I know quite a few Millwall fans, and
they're
just disgusting.
They're trying to threaten us, are you?
Yeah. Me and my firm will come down. With our firm.
It's not that firm.
But, like, just everyone's just sickened by the performances Millwall are turning at the moment. They're just, ugh.
But Norwich were great, though. They just battered them. Blistering.
Blisteringly good.
Mm. Borough lost as well.
They did.
To Forest.
Yeah, but Forest, though. Friedman's Forest.
And I just, but you want to see Middlesbrough up. They've been doing so well lately.
True. Well, they're still in the mix.
Yeah.
Very much in that mix. Wigan and Millwall are both struggling. Dave Whelan's resigned as Wigan chairman.
As he said he would.
Yeah, he pointed his 23-year-old grandson, David Sharp, as his successor. 23.
I'm nearly 10 years older than him, and I've only just learned out of Tamashu list.
I would love to see you in charge of Wigan.
Any football club. Yeah, any football.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Actually, you know, the way Newcastle go, you could end up as the top man there.
Wouldn't be the worst idea, that's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't be the worst one they've had.
Pretty worst one they've had this season.
Pay me in Sports Direct vouchers.
Yeah, it would be a shame for Wigan, obviously, if they went down, but... You know, under Whelan, I mean, he bought the club in 95. They were in the fourth tier of English football. They got them promoted to the Premier League and played a number of seasons up there, won the FA Cup, Moose Stadium. So, you know...
It's a tough time, isn't it? Because the stability he put in place is going. Mm. So it's a difficult job for the guy coming
I think
in.
He's still going to remain owner, though, isn't he?
Of course.
Yeah, it's still in the family hands.
Yeah, I think Dave Whelan, I feel like he's a man who the modern world has left behind. Some of the comments he's made this season have obviously been poor and ill-judged and inoffensive, and that is clearly a shame. But I think, you know, you can't really underestimate the job he's done for that club and for that area as well.
Of course.
Because I saw when Portsmouth got promoted to the Premier League, the amount of investment, the amount of people that would just go to that place increased so much. And I think Wigan would be the same. And he's clearly done a lot for the area and a lot for the club, and he deserves credit for that.
Indeed. To the Scottish Cup. Dundee United won, Celtic won. Three sendings off.
Have I known there were going to be three sendings off? I would have believed watched this.
No, nine men of Dundee United.
Did you see the sendings off?
Hang on. No, I didn't see
it. Oh, it's a shame. I want to know what they're all for.
Soz. Hibs beat Berwick 4-0. Hibs will face Falkirk, who overcame Queen of the South.
Does that mean we'll definitely have
a Scottish Championship side
in the final? Fantastic. Yeah. That's where it's at, as you have always said, mate. So.
Well, that's true. Well, this season.
Can we get a points update? How many points clear of heart?
It's still 20.
20 points.
Yeah.
Just in the bag yet?
A cool 20.
Have that.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Scotland of the South, La Liga. Athletic Bilbao, they beat Real Madrid.
They did.
What a header by Adruiz.
Yeah, superb. It's a curling bullet header.
The timing of it, the way he strode, leapt, met it in the air, into the top corner. Delish.
But curled it with his head.
Oh, Jim.
That is hard.
You couldn't have drawn it better. Like, you couldn't have drawn it.
Roy the Rovers couldn't have done it better.
To plan it would be to overthink it, I think. And you'd arrive at the wrong time, you'd jump the wrong time. Just everything about it was great.
If he got that jump slightly wrong, it would have looked pathetic.
Yeah.
It would have just floated over his head.
Big Carlo's not happy, is he, with his team?
He's not happy, is he?
They've dropped off so much. Ronaldo looked frustrated again.
He said he's
just a bit average.
He said
by his standards.
Well, yeah, I mean, that seems to have completely... coincided with him taking the Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
And getting that statue.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then Messi's retired.
Right.
Ancelotti seems to say, I read someone say something right about this today, but I think Ancelotti is implying that his forward players are now just playing as individuals, not playing as a team. And he said that, you know, one of Ancelotti's greatest achievements, I think we'd all agree, would be that he's got that team of amazing individuals to play, put the team first.
Yeah.
And someone, I forget who was writing the article, was saying that, but for some reason that doesn't seem to be happening now. And Barcelona have moved above Real Madrid now.
Yeah, and they recently lost to Malaga. So that was it's huge that Real Madrid have just let them get away with that.
But it's 5 points has been the shift.
I saw the second half of Barcelona versus Vallecano, and Barcelona were absolutely fantastic. Yeah. I didn't see the first half, but the second half, they were superb.
And Suarez has found his feet.
He has. And the very idea that Xavi is going to go to the MLS, and because he tore it up against Vallecano. He was rolling back the years. And I know Vallecano aren't a brilliant side or anything, but I mean, they just couldn't get near the ball. It's like they're playing a different sport, you know.
And the
Alves penalty, that was unbelievable.
5-0 up.
He got sent off for that as well.
What a sickener that is. You're 5-0 up.
It wasn't
ago.
A foul.
And you haven't fouled him, and then you get sent off.
Yeah, he couldn't believe it. I felt so sorry for him.
But was that Messi's 40th hat-trick?
No,
it was his
32nd hat-trick for Barcelona, 24th in La Liga, which
is
a new record.
His 41st goal overall this season, I think, he scored.
Okay. Yeah, so he's 24th in La Liga, which is a new record.
So he's overtaken Ronaldo, isn't he, then?
Yeah. Well, obviously. Yeah, it wasn't Ronaldo's record in La Liga for that.
Okay.
Okay, right.
What's his name? Not Zamora. There was a prominent Spanish Zara.
I saw an amazing thing. I saw an amazing thing from one of those many sort of Messi-based Twitter accounts the other day, which was basically football before and after Messi, and the records he's taken off people. Like they've been consigned to the bins of history.
Each person had a different record.
It's like a who's who of players. Yeah. And then after it's just Messi.
I know. If a striker scores 20 plus goals. Great season.
Yeah.
30-plus goals, fantastic season. 40-plus goals, different gear. Yeah. He scored 40-plus goals in each of his last six seasons, apparently.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, we talked about this very recently. I think I'm right in saying he scored, three seasons ago, I think it was, he scored 73 goals in a season.
Mm.
Which is just like, when we used to do the Dean Winners Hall of Fame, we used to talk about players in the pre-war era, scoring like Dixie Dean, scoring whatever many goals. Like, Messi's doing that now.
I know. Yeah.
He's going to be burnt out soon, mate.
Yeah, but he's made. I've said this before, but he's made the extraordinary completely ordinary. Yeah, he'll score 50 goals a season, and no one will even bat an eyelid.
And anyone who says, "Oh, it's because La Liga's, you know, unfairly balanced towards the two big clubs," he's doing this in the Champions League as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, sorry, the point, absolutely. Yeah, you can argue that point, but yeah, it's nonsense to just write it off as that. But also as well, if you look at, you know, the great Brazilian Ronaldo, who scored a lot of goals, he never scored that many, and he was one of the best players in the world, probably on two different occasions, you know, maybe sort of mid to late
90s. He's one of the greatest strikers of all time.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that he obviously, there was an injury involved, there was a little dip, and then he came back, and then Ronaldinho was, you know, one of the best for two or three years, probably consistently, maybe four if you like. Messi's done it the whole time.
Yeah.
He's kept that level. Mm.
Well, because the thing we add, I mean, they're different players, but the thing you add to Ronaldo and Ronaldinho with Messi is you add, and to a certain extent with Cristiano Ronaldo, you add the mindset and the living of their life and the living as a professional athlete, which I think Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, by their own admission, would say they haven't done themselves on occasion, at least.
By their own body shape, I would argue. Don't even have to ask them anything. No, exactly. Just look at them. Yeah. One's drunk, one's
and
fat.
And I say that from inside a massive glass house.
Well, Ronaldinho,
you've got your man boobs pressed up against.
I'm throwing footballs to the stones, smashing all the windows.
Well, according to Ronaldinho's trainer in Mexico, he doesn't like running.
But imagine if someone came in here now and said, you'd be a better podcaster if you lived the life, yeah? You're not taking it seriously.
Yeah. Well, not to worry. Let's go to MLS, shall we?
I feel like we're having a bit of a paradigm shift with MLS. I feel like people are on board now. Well, yeah, it's on Sky.
In the opening round. Yeah, in the opening round of matches in MLS, there was some lovely goings on. And no more so than Jose Altidore.
Yeah, he scored double the amount of goals in his first game than he scored in 58 Sunderland games.
No, I think he scored three goals in his whole career, but I think he scored one in the league in 42 league games. League terms, yes, he's doubled his tally.
Yeah, in other terms, he's two-thirds of the way there.
It's still
amazing.
Exactly. Yeah,
there's a very clear line of what his level is, isn't there?
Off the back of the Messi stats, it is a bit cruel. but it was a Canada derby, the Vancouver Whitecaps versus Toronto FC.
Mm. They are nowhere near each other. Vancouver's on the west coast of Canada.
Oh, whenever are we going to say that on the show again?
Next time,
the home fixture.
Next time we talk about Peter Beasley's first club.
Aldo, yeah, he got two goals. He combined with the former Juve and Italy international Giovinco for one of them. It's so weird to see Giovinco out there.
How old is Giovinco?
26, 27.
Bloody hell, yeah.
He's on a King's ransom. But the atomic ant. Yeah, he's one of them. Mm. And then his other goal that Altidore, he won the penalty, and it was a dinked or Panenka penalty.
Mm. I mean, that's cheeky, isn't it? If you've just come off the back of one goal in 58, dinking penalties.
Yeah, well, and they just turn around the sun and go, well, if you give me the chances.
Yeah.
I mean, I was never on pens.
Yeah. Greg Vanney, the coach of Toronto, said, Josie played like a monster out there.
Is he even American?
Don't know.
I don't care.
Greg Vanney, come on.
For those people who don't know much about MLS, I've got two things to point you in the direction of it. One, in a minute, we're going to talk about Sean St. Ledger and Kaká on the same team. So that's what you need to know. Secondly, every single person in MLS, regardless of nationality, talks like that.
I'm Kaká.
Yeah. I got a rootin' tootin' goal here.
This what MLS do to you. Hot diggity dog, we scold.
Hummina, hummina, hummina.
I'm David the villain.
Can we patronise our American listeners anymore?
Well, there's some Canadian ones, and we're talking about two Canadian teams there, Jim.
Oh, yeah. They already hit me.
Yeah.
That was a bit Minnesota, actually, Jim.
They're near, aren't they?
Yeah,
snowy. It's getting on for it.
The thing with Canadians is they say Runderboot, don't they?
Mm. Apparently, people, so. I think you're fine.
Exactly, it sounds similar. Look it up, I'm being serious.
Nova Scotia.
I couldn't be
like
more
that.
Serious.
Yeah. Toronto FC, along with Juvinko and Altidore, Stephen Caldwell, City.
Yeah.
Michael Bradley.
Good player, Michael.
Very good
Bradley.
Player. How do you say it? Chiru?
Oh, Chiru.
Yeah. Chiru.
Wasn't he the new Zidane?
Yeah, ex-Liverpool, ex-Marseille. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Is it Bruno Chiru?
No.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, different player.
And Luke Moore.
You're thinking of Ja Rule.
That's it, Luke Moore, yeah.
I wasn't thinking of Ja Rule. I'm never thinking of Ja Rule.
We're thinking of Ja Rule now.
With the Luke Moore thing, I want...
Jardel, that's who
you
put
you get a lot of tweets.
Sorry,
it gets worse than this, and I promise you this is true. I was once invited to go on ESPN's Talk of the Terrace, as you went on as well, Pete, once, and I was looking up what time the show actually actually started because it was live. I told you this before, haven't I, Marcus? And they rang me up and said, oh, do you want to come on? I was like, yeah, fine. I thought it was doing a ramble, which of course I imagine it was. And I clicked on the info button on the Skybox, and it said, like, Nat Coombs and Kelly Cates, the two presenters, are joined by Fulham goalkeeper David Stockdale, someone else, and ex-Aston Villa Luke Moore. I was like, shit, have they booked me because I think I'm him? I hope not. I'm going anyway, but I hope not.
There's a comedian who does comedy for children whose name is James Campbell.
Yeah, I've seen that as well.
Booked as him before.
Nice. Like,
okay.
What's your comedy for children? Wow.
I've done gigs for kids. It's scary. They just shout nonsense. It's fine though.
and nothing was proven.
Indeed.
Yeah. Gigs for kids by Jim Campbell.
Indeed.
Owen Coyle's Houston Dynamo 1-1 against Columbus Crew.
Giles Barnes scored the goal in that game.
You gotta love that.
He was highly rated at one point.
He was.
Still is, mate. He's playing for Owen Coyle.
Yeah,
the
true.
MLS is such a bizarre bargain bin, isn't it?
It's like a dream of
they get annoyed when we call it the MLS as well.
Yeah, it's just MLS. Yeah, you don't call it when in the Major League Soccer, do you?
No.
Well, they're going to have to raise their game, aren't they? Raise their profile in the eyes of the Ramble.
We'll call it what we want till they get their coefficient up.
Yeah.
Coyle's got an American accent now, hasn't he?
Oh, big time. I'm surprised he's not got a residency at Vegas. the Adrianians Sinatra?
Yeah, it is. Love that guy. I reckon he's got 10 minutes in him.
Oh, big time.
Coming off on the bench.
I bet he bosses it in training.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, he should be bossing it. He is the boss.
He is the boss.
True. Orlando City won.
Springsteen.
New York City FC won. Nearly 63,000 were there for that one.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
David Villa got an assist.
Yeah, the guy who scored the goal is called Mix Discarude.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Sounds like a drink.
What more do you want?
Mix Discarude here, man.
Did you see when New York City FC went... They were playing at Manchester City's training ground at a friendly against St Mirren, and Jim Goodwin, the St Mirren player, nutmegged David Villa with a pass. It's not like he ran up to him, took him on, nutmegged him, then ran
it
around.
It seemed
him
to happen through, like, it just inexplicably.
Yeah,
it just sort of happened.
And Goodwin, it was just like he won Wimbledon or something.
He
put his fist in the air, ran past Villa, turned round, and was actually absolutely loving it. I didn't think Villa even realised what was going on.
Loads of Aston Villa fans on the pitch.
Everyone was there.
So Adrian Heath is a manager of Orlando. He's managing Kaká. Ex Man City, Adrian Heath.
Kaká equalising that game with a very deflected
Kaká and Shaunson Ledger. I think Shaunson Ledger came on, I think. I don't think he started the game, but it's still mad. It's absolutely mad.
I just think sometimes with Brazilian footballers, you go, oh, they'll turn it around. They'll turn their lives around. They never do.
Kaká wasn't a crazy one, though. That's
But he just seemed to let his kind of, like, he kind of let him believe his own hype, it almost seemed like. And he just thought, oh, he's going to turn it around. He's going to, he's going to become the footballer that he used to be. And just never seemed to.
Yeah, it's weird.
The pressure seems to go.
But we all thought, him, for example, would get at the World Cup. He would play at the World Cup, but of course didn't quite do it. But yeah, as you say, as you said earlier, look, Xavi is reported joining David Villa.
Lampard as well.
Frankie Lampard at New York City FC.
Yeah, I mean, with it being on Sky, that actually makes it quite an appealing thing, doesn't it? If they get a decent highlights package together there, that's quite a fun watch.
Brett Shea plays for Orlando as well, isn't he? He's ex-Birmingham and ex-Stoke, I think. He was quite highly rated as well at some point, American midfield player.
Mm. Amazing.
Oh, the player, I'm probably not going to talk about the Red Bulls.
What, Robbie Keane scoring?
Yeah. But
MLS, most valuable player.
There's a couple of good players to watch out for at Red Bulls. I saw him play last year. You see, Lloyd Sam scored, didn't he? For the Red Bulls, yeah. And they've got a midfield player called Dax McCarthy. He's actually a really nice, tidy midfield player. It's worth watching.
By the way, we're not setting a precedent here.
we're not necessarily
going to talk about MLS every week.
I'll be the judge.
You know, I don't think you will.
We don't go to every league every week.
I'll pipe up.
It's true.
Yeah.
You don't think Scotland's getting pushed out for this?
I'd rather kick out Spain.
I would.
Yeah.
I would. To Ivory Coast / Belgium, because Belgium is where he plays his club football. Boubacar Barry has announced his international retirement.
Barry Copper. Barry Cup.
Tupac lookalike.
But he completed the Africa Cup of Nations and penalty shootout simultaneously. Yeah, good way to go out.
Barry Cup.
How appropriate that a man who eats grass would put himself out to pasture.
Yeah.
Nice, Jim.
That's what he's always wanted.
86 caps.
Yeah.
That's all you need to be a hero, ladies and gentlemen. Stop to spy to, kids.
Yeah.
He's two-footed as well. Which is not surprising.
Mum, when I grow up, I'd very much like to win 86 international caps for the Ivory Coast.
Yes. And I would like to complete penalties.
There you go. Right now, it's time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game.
It is time for Pete's Mystery Voice Game. This is the idiot who was chatting on last week.
I've been from Nature, so... Schnall und wo ich klisse bin, bin ich immer Schnall gsi und jetzt habe ich mir also bisschen verbessert und ja.
And none of you motherfuckers got it.
Hey!
It's another all over. A couple of notable choices. A lot of people going for Swiss players. That might be a clue for next week if you want to get involved. Steve Higgins says he sounds like a Swiss upset about something or other.
Tax avoidance, probably.
I can imagine like an old colonel reading the Daily Mail saying that.
Sounds like a bloody Swiss going on about something.
Is it Stefan Henshaw's? No, it's not him. Brett Sterling says, I'm pretty sure that is Valen Barami. He tried to hit my girlfriend's sister in a club once. Sadly, he was unsuccessful, so I still have no in-laws to talk to about football.
How sure are you, mate? Because you're fucking wrong.
Yeah, all right. Wrong. So, unfortunately, you all got it wrong. So here it is again.
I've been from Nature, so Schnall, und wo ich klisse bin ich immer Schnall gsi, und jetzt habe ich mich also ein bisschen verbessert, und ja.
If you know who that is, drop us a line, voice@thefootballramble.com. I like it when it's rollover, it makes it easier to edit.
I like it as well, just because it gets more interesting.
True.
Yeah, that's
hurry up and get it, so it gives Pete work to do.
Yeah. Do you want the highlights of the week?
Please do.
My highlight of the week, sure, personally, was no one getting that voice game.
Yeah.
Mine won't be considered.
I spit on you.
Yeah.
Go on then, here we are.
What have we got here? Oh, Dennis Johansson, this is quite a nice one to start with. Dennis Johansson on Twitter says, the fact that this week a new attendance record was set for the Swedish version of the FA Cup, 41,063 for IKOR versus Hammarby.
Nice.
Very nice to know. Something we should have mentioned, I'm pleased Dale Davis has pulled us up on it.
D-D.
It's got to be Dildo Head at Villa Park. The guy with the cock on his head. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
So go,
is this Sherwood?
Go away. Go away and look it up afterwards. It was all over Twitter, and I saw it at the time as well. There's a guy, one of the guys who was first on the pitch. He's just got a cock and balls strapped to his head. I'm being serious.
Aston Villa dildo head.
Yeah, I'm being serious.
Okay.
It's very, very... I forgot to mention it, but yeah. What else here have we got?
Good Lord! Yeah. it's the good thing about it is it's flesh-coloured, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
Come round, Jim, check it out.
And it's not that big either. It's just like
It's a normal-sized penis, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
That almost looks like he doesn't know it's there.
Well, he's going to chat to his friend off on his mobile phone.
I was thinking Stag Weekend. Stag Weekend,
yeah. It does look like... It's the same colour, though, isn't it? It looks like it's growing out of his head.
Yeah.
He's done well.
In the same way that Steve Stone's like a flesh-coloured penny.
Yeah.
I was about to say, it's a Stag Weekend, really. I mean, we could go to Berlin, we could go to Hamburg, now we're going to Villa Park, but then you've got
and invade the pitch.
Yeah,
maybe they started it.
They were all on the Stag Do.
It started before the end of the game.
20,000 people on the Stag Do.
Speaking of which, D_Anderson95 says, Tim Sherwood outwitting a seasoned manager and implementing his main tactic at Villa. You just win games, mate. Lorenzo Pacitti, I think, is already a friend of the Ramble many times over, but he keeps delivering the goods. I judge each tweet on its merits. He says, Orlando versus New York, as we've talked about, 64,000, exciting game, Kaká scoring, fireworks, ultras, late drama, and a stadium called the Citrus Bowl.
Nice. Wow.
You can't argue with that, can you?
Nice.
Tommy C says, Lampard's big MLS debut in New York's first ever competitive game. Wait, what? He was on the City bench? This is fantastic from Sam Wilson. He says, my highlight of the week is Gray's Athletics manager brought himself on at 2-1 down and scored an equaliser.
That's class.
He then went in goal after the keeper was sent off.
No way.
Saved their penalty.
No way.
And they won 3-2 in stoppage time.
Oh, wow.
Hashtag leading by example.
That's the greatest thing that's ever happened in football.
That's brilliant.
It's a guy called Mark Bentley.
I don't want to overcook it, but that's the greatest thing that's ever happened in football.
The only thing that would be better if he had a dildo on his head.
Yeah.
Don't know that he didn't.
Yeah. Always leave a little bit of room.
You know what he had going for his head when he was on? I need a hero. He's called Mark Bentley anyway, to give him his credit. And Greys are in the Isthmian Premier League. I don't know how they're doing this season, but they came 14th last year. Gregor Lauder says, my mother-in-law genuinely thought that Andy Sinton was the lead actor in The Walking Dead. It's Andrew Lincoln, not Sinton, mum. Matthew again. Moore says Wickham's Matt McClure, good player Matt McClure, good nippy little striker, says getting all of 5 seconds of play after coming on before picking up a red card against Tranmere, making his presence felt. I saw that he came off the bench, there's a bit of a stoppage for the goalkeeper to take the goal kick. The goalkeeper took the goal kick. Literally, McClure was instantly sent off for elbowing someone and spent, I would say, I think it was officially 3.7 seconds of in-time, in-game play, but probably about 10 seconds in total on the pitch.
That's got to be a record,
I looked it up and I don't think it is, but right. I can't tell you what it is. I'll try and find out.
That's great.
Luke Carpenter says, there's a chap fell asleep in the South Bank at Wolves at the weekend. He managed to sleep through the entirety of Wake Up If You Love the Wolves and Is He Dead, sung by the whole staff. What else have we got here? Shall I do this email about Edgar Davids?
Yeah,
far away.
Okay, this is an email from Leo. Sorry, Leo, I didn't take down your second name. But he says, Ramblers, since he decided the conference premier wasn't for him, you may be wondering what happened to Edgar Davids. Well, my team, Detica FC, turned up at Chiswick on Sunday morning to try and defend the London Accountants Football League Cup.
London Accountants.
We won last season. And we thought one of the players warming up opposite us, London Business School, looked remarkably like the Champions League winner himself. As the game kicked off, it became apparent that it actually was Edgar Davids. He didn't score, despite taking four or five free kicks from just outside the box, but nor did he get sent off, so overall an improvement from his early Barnet days. Despite the game being level at full-time, 3-3, and the half-time of extra time, 5-all. Sounds like a thriller. Mm. We eventually succumbed 7-5 after 120 minutes with no subs. But after the game, he was good enough to pose for a few photos with us. Unfortunately, I missed the game, but I didn't get a chance to meet him. But we played them again in the potential title decider at the end of the month, so I've cleared my calendar.
Yes.
I think Edgar will be gone by then.
Well, I do hope that they get in trouble, the other team get in trouble, who fielded an ineligible.
Oh, yeah, he's fully
ringer.
Registered, mate. If he's fully registered.
Well, yeah. I would imagine he's not.
Well,
Pay the rules, Donaldson.
Pay my subs, mate.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd like to know more about that. So any more information, please do let us know.
I'll find out where the pitches are, because Chiswick's not far from me in West London.
Check it out.
I'll be a ringer.
I'm down there tomorrow. I'll see if he's around. I'll sniff him out.
I saw this in the press highlight from Mexico. Jaguares, the team were playing on the weekend, and the referee didn't give them a penalty, which obviously they thought was a penalty. And on their official Twitter account, somebody tweeted from it, "It seems we have a local referee, a thief referee." Hackers were blamed.
Always blamed. Always with the hackers, isn't it?
It's easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was very enjoyable. Any more highlights for you?
No, I've got my nothing. Highlight was probably the opening question.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm spent, Marcus.
Well, there we are.
Stick a fork in me.
Yeah.
Because I'm done.
Oh, Gordon Bennett. Mm. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the end of Das Ramble this week. If you want to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Don't forget to check out the website, because, as always, our editor-in-chief... Editor at large, editor extraordinaire, Kelly Wells.
Chief at large is doing a
fantastic job, and there's always interesting and fun stuff to look on there, most of which we steal for this show. So
right.
There's the secret.
Mm. There we are.
There's where the credit should go.
Yeah, that's the footballramble.com.
Rock and roll football on Absolute Radio this weekend, kicking off at 3 o'clock. John Charmian and Clark Carlisle will be bringing you Arsenal versus West Ham.
Oh, London Derby.
Tasty. Russ Williams in the studio with Ray Houghton.
I don't know who that first person is.
What? Well, he was the original presenter of Soccer M, if you must know.
Okay, good. Oh, Ray Houghton I like Ray Houghton. He actually bought me a beer once, Ray Houghton. Oh. Nice chap.
Well done, Ray.
You were easily bought.
One pint. Let's try it sometime.
Right, come on. The game's kicked off. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Luke.
Goodbye.
Pete.
Laters.
See yous.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.